us on the gram at CapitCo and ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
It's Cap and Company on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Chris Bleck, along with Pat Boyle, sitting in for David Kaplan today. We're talking Bears football with you at 312-332-3776. Patrick Mahomes, he gets his new contract. He will be with the Chiefs for the next 10 years. A lot of money. Could be up to $503 million for Patrick Mahomes. I think worth every penny of it as we look forward. But Pat, the conversation's about the Bears, because every time there is a new story about Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson, all of us Bears fans are going to look at the 2017 draft and question what Ryan Pace did in drafting Mitchell Trubisky by moving up and then missing out on two stellar players, including one, Mahomes, who might be an all-time great when we're all said and done with this.
You know, and yesterday as I'm watching all the highlight video of Mahomes and what he's done in a short period of time, it's amazing how he's kind of, I want to say revolutionized the position, but the no-look passes, the things I've seen from the quarterback position that, I never thought I would see. His durability, even, you know, getting through that knee injury that he had last year, and how it looked like he was going to be out for a considerable period of time, and he only missed a couple of games.
And
his ability to come back, you know, in big ball games. And it's been fun to watch. Kansas City is very, very lucky. They're also a smart organization, and you can see why. And even the way they structured this deal for him, have you kind of delved into the details about the Mahomes contract?
Well, you know, at a certain point in the deal, he's going to either need it to be restructured because he's not getting paid enough, and or by the time you get to the end of the deal, it'll be a bargain deal if he's still playing that great level of quarterback, which I think we can kind of assume he probably will, just because quarterbacks now are playing into their 40s. So he probably will get a secondary contract after this one's up, which sounds crazy when you say, hey, project out what things will be like, what will life be like in 10 years from now. That's a long time. Yet Mahomes might get a second contract after this because he's so young and so good so early on.
They have in his deal what's called these guaranteed mechanisms, where the Chiefs need to guarantee the next season's contract 1 year out, or they have to cut him. So when you look at the breakdown of it, you know, he's making, like, in 2022, he's making almost $30 million. In 23, he's making $40 million. In 2024, he's making $38 million. It's not until year eight where things get a little interesting, where he jumps to $60 million. So at that point, in year five or six, you may see a restructuring of this deal to make it more cap friendly for the Chiefs. But, it got us.
Well, that's also suggesting that the cap isn't rising.
Well, right? even with it will rise.
Because if we get to 2027, if the NFL is in a better spot, you know, $60 million right now for one season seems ridiculous. But when we get to 2027,
it may not be.
Maybe he's the eighth highest paid quarterback at the time, because that's kind of how this works.
You guys brought it up in our pre-show meeting. Danny said, is there any Chicago sports athlete that you would give a 10-year extension to right now?
Right now, I don't think there is an answer. I don't think that player, that athlete, is in this city at the moment. Who would it be? Because I think if you look, the initial response is there's a lot of talent, young talent, on the baseball diamonds on both sides of town. Problem is, baseball's a bit unpredictable as far as your prime lasting that long. When we've seen 10-year contracts given out, who is it? Pujols and A-Rod, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two guys. And Trout. You know, will Trout at the end of his deal be worth it? I hope so. It'd be cool to watch an all-time great player play that well into his later years of his career, but we've seen it with Pujols, his teammate. The moment he kind of signed that new deal, it didn't really work out for the Angels the way they hoped it would. You know, so baseball players I would shy away from. You look at basketball, there's no one on the Bulls that you would give a 10-year deal to right now.
And look, we realize in the NBA and the NHL that you can't offer 10-year contracts. Yeah, we understand that. Yeah. We're saying,
hypothetically,
who would you have confidence in giving a long-term 10-year deal to? And the answer is, when you look, I would have said Khalil Mack possibly 2 years ago, but last year gives me doubt. So I don't think he would be productive the final few years of that contract. 10 years at what's he, 29? What is Khalil?
Yeah, he's around 30.
He's 29.
Yeah. So I mean,
you know, Pat, what's interesting about that is I wouldn't immediately rule out the Blackhawks, but their players who are worthy of those contracts are older. Right, so you wouldn't give Patrick Kane a 10-year deal now.
No,
you wouldn't give Taves.
He's 31 years
old. If you could go back in time and
oh, solidify, absolutely,
yeah,
sure,
you would, right? So Khalil Mack's interesting. I had concerns watching Khalil Mack last year as well. You know, some people would look at it as you remove Akeem Hicks in the middle, and thus it makes the offensive line focus more on someone like Khalil Mack. Therefore, he's less impactful in a game. I would then respond to that person who is suggesting it by saying, if he is a top five player in the league, should it matter who his nose tackle is, who's in the middle clogging up space? I would imagine if you're a top five player, you could do damage no matter what. I think my other concern, and I want your opinion on this, is does he seem like a player that when the season's kind of done, he just kind of packs it in for the next year? Or is he playing each and every game as if it's his last? You know, Khalil Mack, when the Bears were 12-4, was unbelievable. 8-8 last season, when it seemed like the playoffs weren't really in the cards anymore, seemed like he wasn't quite the same player. I don't know why that is.
Well, I don't know why there was such a drop. And we've talked about the 8-8 year. It didn't feel even like an 8-8 year. It felt far worse than that. Maybe there is a checkout issue with him. That's something that, you know, we'll have to examine here in year three. There's no more excuses, though. With Robert Quinn, the addition they've made, that should make Khalil Mack even more formidable. Yes, I do think Pro Bowl players and, you know, generational players and defensive player of the year, they can make a defense better by themselves. In his first year here, in the 12-win season, there were three games that you could say were Khalil Mack wins. That his disruption,
yeah,
his forced fumble, his sack, his recovery of a turnover led specifically to wins in one-score games. You weren't able to say that last year. And I think with what we saw in year one in Chicago with Khalil, we kind of expected it to be, it was going to check that box. He'll be fine.
Sure.
Like it's going to happen. Maybe it's a different DC, but no, things will be fine. And that wasn't the case last year. So this year, look, this is a prove it year for a lot of players, including Khalil Mack and including the front office and including Matt Nagy, the coach. There were a lot of drop-offs in year two, Nagy also being a part of that equation, and he needs to have a bounce-back year as well.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I agree with you in the assessment of the defense, because I think it's tough to assume the great level that they played from two seasons ago will continue on just because the names are the same on the roster. You know, I always point to the teams I look at that are about to take the next step are always defensive units that have young, talented, hungry players on it. And it's like once you get teams that are veteran-led, it seems like those teams take a step back. And that's why the window of winning in the NFL is so short. And that's why that playoff game against the Eagles, the wild card game, was so hurtful. Because as a Bears fan, it is possible that that was your window. That title run, 2018, go 12-4, into the playoffs. You could have beaten the Eagles. You could have done something. You didn't do it, right? To assume that each year you run it back with the same players. Now, it's helpful that you get a young guy like Roquan Smith, who I think is going to be super impressive with his career here with the Chicago Bears. But to assume that Hicks, Mack, Fuller, even Jackson, each and every year can live up to what they did 2 years ago and even at points last season, I think that's fool's gold. They can still be a top 10 defense, but will they be able to win games by themselves? And I think what we saw last year is that the answer is turning into no compared to what we saw the year before, right? Like, the offense now needs to chip in. Yeah. The offense has to give you something more than 17 points per game.
Right.
You have to get to at least 22 to 23 points per game, which, to a Bears fan, five more points per game, that doesn't seem like a whole heck of a lot. And in the standings of offenses in the National Football League, it puts you about middle of the pack. But the defense needs help. So a guy like Khalil Mack, you could look at it and say, okay, is he as good as we thought he was? Well, maybe the game-winning plays and the disruption, all that stuff isn't what we saw from 2 years ago. But then again, was the offense helping the defense to get to that point? And I would say absolutely not. So, like, if they got
but it wasn't helping that much in the 12-win year either. I mean, other than, you know, the Bucs game and a couple of exceptions to the rule. They were winning with defense in the 12-win season, in Khalil's first year here in Chicago.
I would say there's one caveat to that. The offense and Matt Nagy was very good at scripting the first quarter mm-hmm. and scoring first. And they won a lot of bets for me in my pocket based on the Bears having the lead at the end of the first quarter. And they were able to ride that to wins because then what do you do as a defense? You can attack more. And then throughout the first half, you have the lead, you're up, and then it makes it a little bit easier defensively to go after the opposing quarterback. So I think it all plays together. A lot of times last year, the Bears were losing after one quarter. They were losing in the first half. That's tough to put that pressure, to apply that pressure on the defense.
They weren't able to score touchdowns in the first half.
Right. I mean, think about how demoralizing that Eagles game was. What was it, 9 total yards in the first half? And, like, I wouldn't blame the defense to kind of look at that output and to be like, well, all right, we're going out, and, yeah, we're good, but, like, we can't score for you. We can't do everything for you. You know, so I think the quarterback change, if it takes place, I think it could certainly help. Maybe it takes Khalil Mack to a different level, too, because the defense will see the offense is at least doing something. I want to ask you about Patrick Mahomes. I want to ask you whether or not my eyeballs are lying to me. Is Patrick Mahomes already on the path to being the best quarterback we've ever seen play in the NFL? We'll talk about it next.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Some breaking news in the NBA. Shams Charania reporting that Wizards star Bradley Beal will not play in the restart for the NBA season due to a shoulder injury. There were concerns about Beal suggesting he wasn't going to play because he wasn't comfortable with everything going on with COVID-19 to begin with, but a shoulder injury. The Wizards star won't be there. The Wizards not expected to make the playoffs anyway. To me, that's not a huge idea, but he is a star, Victor Oladipo being the first, Bradley Beal being the second, that won't be a part of what's taking place in Orlando. Victor Oladipo, by the way, hasn't played this year. So again, another justifiable guy not playing, right? Like, it's not like this is LeBron, who's fighting for a championship, Giannis fighting for a championship. These are guys on teams probably not going to be there in the end. One not who hasn't played, and another who's injured. So.
Do you know when the deadline is where NBA players have to say they're tapping out? Or
great question. I don't know that.
Okay.
I think there was a deadline to say whether or not you're going, and I think Beal said he was going to go. Now whether or not they play, because I read something yesterday that he was going to go all along, but whether or not he was actually going to participate was up in the air. So.
Sounds like the Seinfeld episode of reserving the car.
Yeah, anybody can reserve the car. Yeah. You got to hold on to the reservation.
You got to keep the reservation. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Chris Black, Pat Boyle sitting in for David Kaplan today here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Let me ask you this, Pat. Are my eyes lying to me when I think I've seen the best quarterback who I've ever seen play football, and that quarterback is Patrick Mahomes? I don't want this to come off as a hot take because I've thought about this at length. I feel like when I watch Patrick Mahomes play football, you said it about, 15 minutes ago, that we've never seen something like this on a football field. The way
stylistically, he brings something that we have not seen at that position.
Now, if you factor in the success he's had on top of that, with not only the team being very good, getting a Super Bowl win this last season, personally, the MVP, and in two seasons as a starter, having 76 touchdowns and 17 interceptions, am I crazy to suggest that he may go down as the greatest quarterback we've ever seen play the sport of football?
I don't think you're crazy, but I think you may have fallen in love after a handful of dates. Again, it's just the sample size is not, it's damn impressive. It doesn't get any better than an MVP and a Super Bowl, right? But it isn't a huge body of work. I feel like you're falling in love after, you're kind of a prisoner of the moment, so to speak.
You know, when she's right, she's right.
She's right, yeah.
I mean, and you look at
love at first sight.
3-point shooters in the NBA, you know, you see what Steph Curry did initially and you say, okay, this is the best 3-point shooter I've ever seen in my life. And then you continue to watch and then it continues to prove out that you're correct. I feel like you could take the angle that it's only a handful of games, but if you look through the history of quarterbacks in the National Football League, they usually at this level, the best of the best all time, they hit pretty early on. Like Dan Marino in his second year was an MVP in 1984. His first full year as a starter combined with the second year, he had 78 touchdowns, 38 interceptions. So he had more touchdown passes than Mahomes, but he had more interceptions. Mahomes really took care of the football last year, 5 interceptions. Pretty incredible. The one thing is Marino never got that Super Bowl. Mahomes already has that Super Bowl. You can run through all of the names. John Elway, Joe Montana, Brett Favre, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, which he is the greatest quarterback to ever play the position because of the Super Bowl rings, the 6 Super Bowl rings. And in his first 2 full seasons as a starter, he threw 46 touchdowns and 26 interceptions. So like Brady, it took a little bit of time to fully click, to fully become an MVP in 2017. There's only one name that really, the moment he got on the scene, he became one of the best players in the National Football League. And that was Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner won the MVP in 1999 and in 2001 and won a Super Bowl. And in his first 2 seasons as starter, he had 62 touchdowns and 31 interceptions. And we remember those Rams teams being so impressive, the greatest show on turf. But really, it's Dan Marino, who didn't get a Super Bowl. It's Kurt Warner, who didn't have quite the stats that Mahomes has had. Those are the two names that stack up when you look at the first 2 seasons of someone's career. Because otherwise, you're looking at guys like Montana, who won back-to-back MVPs, but he didn't win those until his later in his career, right? He didn't win those until 89 and 90. Elway got an MVP in his 5th season, but didn't win Super Bowls until later on. Brett Favre won 3 straight MVPs, 95, 96, 97. But his first couple of years, he wasn't playing at that level, and he led the league in interceptions in his second season. So, you know, you go through all the names that we have in football history, and I think we could say at some point, you know, maybe at the end of this contract, 10 years, Mahomes may go down as the best we've ever seen play the position.
There's no question he may. I'm not just ready to anoint him that right now. I also think it's fit. When you look at what Kurt Warner had and the greatest show on turf, you know, he had Orlando Pace. He had Marshall Faulk. He had pieces around him that were Hall of Fame level players.
Torrey Holt.
And you look at Mahomes' situation with Travis Kelce, arguably, you know, the best tight end in the league. Tyreek Hill is fantastic. Andy Reid and his offense is a perfect fit as well. So it's not just the player. It's also the fit and the talent at the positions to accentuate what that quarterback brings to the table.
312-332-3776. Who is the best quarterback you've ever seen play? Do you have an answer for that?
Well, I would have to say Brady. I used to go with Montana back in the day. I just thought, you know, in the 90s, I thought Joe Montana was, you know, late 80s into the 90s was as good as it gets. Now, he also had, I think, the greatest receiver of all time in Jerry Rice. But with what the West Coast offense could do with Montana, and then even at the tail end of his career going to Kansas City and taking a team that didn't have a ton of talent and raising their level. I don't think they got to the playoffs. So they got close, maybe. It used to be Montana, but Brady has passed Joe Montana in my books, and you know we'll see where Mahomes takes it.
If we go around the room, Danny, who, if you think about it, who's the best quarterback you've ever seen play the position? Who comes to mind?
I've got to go just with Tom Brady because in my mind he's the greatest of all time. And I was lucky enough to be alive during his prime in the Patriots run.
Okay, so we got Brady.
Clean sweep for me, Brady. Because,
Brady? Okay.
I mean, for me, just from watching football, and it's a Brady versus Manning debate,
yeah,
just because of my lifetime. But, yeah, it's Brady because he's got the rings to back it up.
Okay, so Brady across the board here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one name, so I mentioned Dan Marino, Kurt Warner, as far as the stats go and the accomplishments early on to mix in with Patrick Mahomes. I'm surprised no answers about Brett Favre. I thought for a long time in my lifetime, being a Bears fan, being a kid that grew up in the 90s, I thought Brett Favre was doing it the best that you could do, you know, playing that position. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he had a little flair to
him.
Well,
okay, now that's a different conversation. Stylistically and flair, well, yes, but he was also a gunslinger who could turn the ball over and throw an interception, you go, whoa. So, I mean,
I kind of like that.
Yeah, well, all right.
Well, I mean, I like someone that lives on the edge. I like that, Pat. You know,
that's why you like Cutler.
Well, you mentioned just the weapons that Joe Montana, Patrick Mahomes had. You know, Tom Brady, if we want to talk about system, how much of this credit, like, does Brady, if we want to point out Mahomes and his situation with the Chiefs, whether or not he would be this successful early on, how successful would Tom Brady be if he's been playing for the Falcons for the last 10 years?
That's a great point.
You know,
because,
like,
when you look at the skilled position for the Patriots over the years, it seems like, now look, they had some great receivers. Gronk is obviously, will go down as one of the best tight ends of all time. So he had some weapons, but I would say it was Tom that elevated the parts more than the skill position players taking Tom to the next level.
Remember, who was it? Troy Brown, who was not only the slot wide receiver for Brady, but also playing like backup cornerback for a while for those Belichick teams in the early couple championships for the Patriots. Let's go to Mike in Hoffman Estates. He called 312-332-3776. Who's the best quarterback you've ever seen play, Mike?
So I probably started, I'm 28, so I started watching football at the end of Brett Favre's career. So I got to see Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. And I would definitely say Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback if we're talking about, you know, I will never take anything away from anyone saying Tom Brady is the greatest. The guy is 6-for-9. He has 6 Super Bowls. He's very clutch. He's a great leader. But as far as like a talent perspective, there's not one throw that Tom Brady can make that Aaron Rodgers can't make. There's plays that he's made off 1 foot that Tom Brady couldn't make off 2 feet. And that's not a jab at Tom Brady. But if you're talking about mechanics and throws and accuracy, Aaron Rodgers is the best to ever do that. Now, if you want to talk about leadership and other things that, you know, Aaron Rodgers hasn't shown that he's great at, I understand that. But if you're saying, I want this guy to throw like this in college so that he can be another Patrick Mahomes, then it's Aaron Rodgers. And that's why I think Patrick Mahomes deserves the money he does, because that's the second guy that I've seen and I'm like, wow, there are throws that Patrick Mahomes makes that no one else can make in the league. So I really do think there's a similarity between Aaron Rodgers at the peak of his career, the beginning of his career, and Patrick Mahomes. And another thing with this deal, he's going to be 33 at the end of this deal. There's guys playing in their 40s, so there might be another $700 million deal. Oh, yeah. So I think the money is deserving. There's throws that that guy can do. He's gone through it all. He's gone through, you know, deficits and playoff games. He won a Super Bowl at 23. He deserves his money.
Thanks, Mike. Great call. And how could I leave Aaron Rodgers off that list?
I agree. I mean, I think Aaron Rodgers, talent-wise, is better than Brett Favre, but Brett had some things that Aaron did not.
Wallace in Maryville, you're on ESPN 1000. Who do you think, Wallace? Who's the best quarterback you've seen play?
Well, I will say this. Bottom line, Joe Montana, I look at the difference in the way the league is refereed nowadays. You can barely touch a quarterback nowadays.
Good point.
Back when Montana was playing, you could clobber a guy, and there was just not the level of protection. I mean, people forget they came up with the rule about hitting quarterbacks below the knees, all because of Tom Brady getting his knee rolled up on when the guy got blocked into it. So I think the protection and the fact that Montana never lost a Super Bowl.
No, so great point there, Wallace. Thank you for the phone call, Wallace. And, you know, like, Montana winning, Joe Cool, right? Like, yeah. The nickname, everything kind of makes sense. That West Coast offense, like you mentioned, Pat, all coming together. Your calls coming up next, 312-332-3776.
And I thought Adam Schefter broke the Mahomes story yesterday. It turns out he did not. I got to tell you that story coming up in a second.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Cap and Company. See what Sparkles is up to on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today. Cap and Company.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
You can watch the show on Twitch. Find the channel ESPN 1000 Chicago. The chat is, they're going after the quarterback conversation, Pat. A lot of people suggesting Marino, Brady. Some people agreeing with me that Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback they've ever seen play the position. That's what we're talking about here on ESPN 1000. Patrick Mahomes, is he the best quarterback you've ever seen play the position? That's not necessarily, does he have the most championships? Because the rings conversation, that's like something we do with basketball, right? Who has more rings, LeBron or Jordan? Oh, we're asking, who is the best you've ever seen do it? Is it Brett Favre? Is it Joe Montana? Is it Dan Marino?
Aren't you really,
John Elway?
Aren't you really making the case that he's off to the best start of any quarterback in NFL history?
I think he is. But I think it's in my head, what I'm thinking of is when I watch him play, I don't think I've seen someone do that better. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I see a quarterback play, he looks like the perfect quarterback on the field. I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback play better than Patrick Mahomes. There are some stats that could say that you could say, Peyton Manning in his year with the Broncos, maybe that was a better quarterback playing. You could hear like one of the callers saying Aaron Rodgers, his ability on the field. I could see that.
You're a little too young to remember Bill Walsh, Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, like that when they were in their prime, right? I mean, do you remember watching? Like,
I mean, I've watched a lot of the like NFL film stuff about them, but I didn't watch late 80s football live because I was born in 85.
Yeah.
So
no, I understand.
But I get it and I respect it. And I think it's in the conversation for sure.
So Mahomes yesterday signs a deal, 10-year extension that could be worth up to $503 million. Now, I figured Shefty broke the story. At least that's how I found out about it on Twitter. But apparently, somebody else was in on breaking this story. Here it is. Schefter did not have it first. That honor belonged to Katie Camlin, a liquor store employee who tweeted at 12:21 p.m., a front office employee from the Chiefs came in and bought six bottles of Dom Perignon, said there's a big signing today, said it's not Chris Jones, So my guess is a Mahomes deal. And then Camlin, she chickened out a little bit there and deleted the tweet out of nervousness about doing something wrong. But didn't it? This is from the David Kaplan investigative reporting playbook. You know, where he's at Whole Foods and right. He hears a little ditty about something that's going down with the Bulls or the Bears.
He's taking a look at the different the meat section, and then he hears that there might be a trade in the works. The butcher is relaying some information.
Right. The produce guy says Trubisky's going to get a fifth-year extension. When we say follow the money, follow the follow the liquor store too, and find out how they're going to have that party and how they're going to celebrate that $503 million deal.
Have you ever had Dom Boyle?
How
about you, CB?
No, I haven't. No,
I haven't either. Is it worth $200 a bottle?
So I'm not a big champagne guy. Just full disclosure, it is better than your average $40 or $50 bottle. There's a difference. Yeah. But I'm just not, to me, it's not something that's really my cup of tea.
Danny, a big champagne guy?
No,
champagne?
I'm not a big champagne guy at all.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Like the pop the bottles?
Like, I don't understand why anyone would spend $200 a bottle on Dom, but it seems to be the go-to.
Bro, the guy just signed a $500 million.
No,
they're not
going
to go for the
low. I get it. Listen, I get it. I just wanted to know if it's that much
got
better.
$3 bottles of champagne.
Like, there's $200 bottles of wine, and then, like, I've been to Waddle's house where Prisoner literally flows out of the faucet.
It's the house wine.
That's like a $40 bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Delicious. I don't need $200 bottle. That's what I was
getting. Are you saying Dom comes out of the bidet at the Waddle household? Is that what you're saying?
I can't confirm it, but I'm not going to deny it.
Let's go to John Skokie. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, John?
Yes, I just wanted to say two things. The first one is you were talking about the greatest quarterback I've ever seen. In my book, it was John Elway. I played defensive back in college, and it was an exhibition game, and Elway was rolling out to the left. He was like 2 yards away from the sidelines. He hit his receiver on the opposite end of the field with the defensive back only 5 yards away, and the guy couldn't even catch him. That's the gun that John Elway had. But there's one other point, and that is, as far as the greatest quarterback of all time, it was Otto Graham, because he played 10 years, he was in 10 championships, and he won 7 rings.
Pat, I'll let you handle the Otto Graham.
Well, this is going to surprise you.
I did not
see Otto play. But you can't argue with his ring comparison.
How many teams were in the league at that time?
Yeah, I your guess is as good as mine. But, no, John Elway, his first point was, he is in the conversation of one of the greats of all time. There's no question about it.
Yeah, I have him on my list because I think what he did at an early age, even though his first MVP wasn't until his fifth season, John Elway had 40 touchdowns, 38 interceptions in his first 2 years, but he was one of those prospects that we knew the moment he came into the NFL, people expected a lot from him, right? Like, that's the one advantage Patrick Mahomes kind of had. He could surprise us. You know, Peyton Manning, we knew, was supposed to be the guy. John Elway, we knew, was supposed to be the guy. So we've seen that throughout history. I think Elway's definitely in the conversation.
Don't you have to give the quarterbacks, let's say pre-2000, credit for, or 2005, credit for playing when defenders were literally trying to take their head off?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, you have to, don't
you? Elway was tough. Marino, tough. Absolutely.
Montana, tough. I mean, they're all tough.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's not saying Mahomes isn't, because he proved it last year as well with that dislocated knee.
Even Warren Moon. I think you could look at the statistics from Warren Moon and suggest if he played in a different era, we may be having a different conversation about Warren Moon being one of the great all-time quarterbacks. Ryan in Wrigleyville, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say, if you're talking about the best quarterback I've ever seen play, I would go with Michael Vick, because he's the first quarterback that I saw play the game that way. I don't remember Randall Cunningham or Warren Moon, but Michael Vick changed the way I watched the quarterback. But if it's greatest quarterback ever, it's Tom Brady without question. He has a 36-touchdown, 4-interception season, a 50-touchdown, 8-interception season. Before this season, he was the only person to be a unanimous MVP in the NFL. And like a caller pointed out before, Montana's 4-0 in the Super Bowl, but are we supposed to give Montana more credit because he lost earlier than Brady? Like, why does Brady get knocked because he went to 9 Super Bowls, he wins 6 of them, the other 3, he sets the record for the most passing yards in a season. You can talk about that there was questionable coaching with the benching of Malcolm Butler. If he wins that, now he has 7. And then he's Asante Samuel interception away in the Giants Super Bowl from an undefeated season, hitting Randy Moss for the game-winning touchdown. And then again against the Giants, he's a Rob Gronkowski healthy Gronk away from catching a Hail Mary, and he just misses Randy Moss against the Giants after they score with about 20 seconds left downfield by about inches, which would have set them up again. So I understand that he's lost Super Bowls, but I just wonder why we give Montana more credit, because Brady's been to more AFC championship games, more conference championship games, and more Super Bowls. So I just don't understand the giving Montana credit for losing earlier. I thank you for taking my call, and I'll hang up and listen. Love the show.
Thanks, Ryan. We appreciate it. And it's good. I don't discredit Tom Brady for the Super Bowls lost. I give him credit for the Super Bowls he got to. You know, it's the same way I look at LeBron. People want to knock LeBron James for the amount of times he got to the NBA Finals, but he lost. He still got to the NBA Finals. I give him credit for that.
Different, because I think in basketball, a alpha can make the difference in a series and in a game and be more impactful than a player in the NFL and in the Super Bowl.
We'll take more of your phone calls here on Cap and Company.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This hour is brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois. Through life's ups and downs and for all the journeys ahead, you know what to bring. The card you can count on. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois through it all.
This is Cap and Company. Follow on Twitter at The Cap Man.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
We're talking football with you at 312-332-3776. Harding in Orland Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Harding?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I got a quick question for you. So we often ridicule our front office for passing on Mahomes and taking Trubisky, but why do the Bills front office not get the same level of ridicule for trading out of the position to take Patrick Mahomes? Because if I'm not mistaken, didn't they take a quarterback the following season? And then if we're comparing statistical graphs and projections, I think Mitch Trubisky has a better statistical history than Josh Allen does currently with the Buffalo Bills. Although the playoff, you know, situation, they almost beat them, blah, blah, blah. Same thing for the Bears, almost beat the Eagles. But where's the Bills' ridicule in this situation?
It's a good question, Harding. I would imagine we don't get Bills Mafia calling in upset because we're in Chicago.
Yeah, I'm sure they're having this conversation on whatever the Buffalo sports radio station is there. I'm sure every time Mahomes does something great, but we're here in Chicago and we're being a little selfish about ourselves and we're talking about it from the Bears' perspective. Yeah. It's probably like what Portland did anytime Michael Jordan did something of significance.
Oh yeah,
because Portland took Sam Bowie over Jordan in that draft. I mean, do you think it's a similar thing? Do you think it's like there's always these towns that lost out on the generational type player and just will never let it go? Is this the thing we'll never let go here in Chicago?
I think it has to be, right? I don't think that there is somebody, a Chicago sports franchise, at least in recent history, that they've missed out on, that they had an opportunity to land, right? Like last week, there was discussion about the 2010 summer for the Chicago Bulls, how they missed the opportunity of landing LeBron James. But I mean, really, they didn't control that, right? The Bears controlled this. They could have selected Patrick Mahomes. They just didn't. So I think it probably will. Don't you think that 10 years from now, when this contract for Patrick Mahomes is up, don't you think we will still look back and say, ah, Pace took Trubisky?
The only way we won't have that conversation or feel that way is if we found the guy. If they have found the, if they find the guy in the next 4 or 5 years to be the franchise quarterback and not just a guy that can take an offense to 15th in the, a guy who's a game changer.
Yeah.
Then it'll sting less the passing on Mahomes, and Trubisky will become a footnote.
Does that have more to do with Trubisky sucking or Mahomes being so great? Like, let's say Mahomes was Mahomes and Kansas City took him, but Mitch wasn't as bad as he is. Let's say he was an average NFL quarterback and the Bears picked up his fifth-year option, and the odds were he was going to be this team's quarterback for the next 5 years. Would we still have this despise, this disgust in our heart for the for
yeah.
the pick?
Yeah, it's because of Mahomes being so great. It's like getting shampoo in your eye in the shower, right? When it gets in there, it stings really bad, and like you hope that like the day could go on and you don't think about it again. Maybe you touch your eye once or twice. It still stings. It's because he's so great. It's not because Trubisky, if he was average, we'd be okay with it. I don't think the Bears would win a Super Bowl. You see what I'm saying? Like, I don't think it's replaced
All right, let me ask this. What if the Bears had taken Deshaun Watson? Would we have the same disgust in our gut right now that we have when we hear Mahomes signs a half-billion-dollar deal?
Even though Watson may not be as good as Mahomes, I think for the next 10 years, the two quarterbacks that are going to lead the AFC are going to be Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. Like, those are the two guys. So I think if the Bears would have taken Watson, yeah, I mean, would we have liked Mahomes? Yeah, but we would have been, like, Texan fans today are probably A-okay that they have Watson.
Yeah. So, I'm like, with you, because yeah, Mahomes is Miss America, Deshaun is first runner-up,
yeah,
and Trubisky's like, why are you in the pageant?
Why are you even here?
You really here? Can we serve a steak? Take the sash off him right now.
How did she get into this competition? You know, Harding asked a question about Josh Allen. Josh Allen, heading into his third season, through his first two seasons as a starter, 30 touchdowns, 21 interceptions. His completion percentage is at 56%. As a starting quarterback, his record is 15-12. I would suggest that Josh Allen is at the same crossroads Trubisky was at heading into last season. This is a season for the Bills and Josh Allen that he has to now prove it, that he is a worthwhile starting quarterback in the National Football League for a team that was a playoff team that should be a playoff team once again. So to Harding's question, Josh Allen is probably at that spot. Now, whether or not he passes Trubisky and develops and turns into a solid quarterback, that's what we'll find out this season. But Josh Allen isn't there yet. This is the season where we have to make the determination.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. Not at all.
So we have a lot of football conversation coming up. We will continue to take your phone calls at 312-332-3776. But Pat, coming up next, one of the all-time legendary guests here on ESPN 1000, that person will join us coming up next. If you are a football fan and you remember the days of Mac Yerko-Harry, you remember the days of early ESPN 1000, there's one name that would come on weekly and talk football with the guys, no matter the time slot, no matter the what was going on in the world. That name was John Clayton.
The professor.
Ooh, the professor. John Clayton. He is coming up in 2 minutes.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.